This scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
I can see one or two people yawning, one or two people looking a bit bleary-eyed, one or two people thinking 9 o'clock's early to come to church on Christmas Day, and those of you with small children have probably been up for 3 or 4 hours already. It's never a good idea for preachers to play gentle, soothing music before they speak, because if I don't send you off to sleep, that will. It's a lovely arrangement of that carol, though, isn't it? Marina Pryor singing Away in a Manger for us. And it's one of it's everybody's favourite carol, probably. And as the band have been out caroling, and as we've done various things in various churches, it's been asked for time and time again. And I've used that last verse: "Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask you to stay close by me forever, and love me, I pray." I've been using that as a prayer. It is a prayer, isn't it? The incarnate Son of God comes to participate in our humanity in order that you and I can participate in his. So when we pray that prayer, "Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me," it was really asking that we might really enter into this story that we know so well. And it is a story we know so well. And there are problems with the details of the story, because we can't help but learn most of what we know about the Christmas story from what we sing rather than what we read. Now, the members of the band who were with us last Sunday at Garden Suburbs have heard some of this, so you just need to be surprised and interested. And those of you who have not heard it before, well, be nice if you were surprised and interested as well, frankly. The details of the Christmas story. So we know, don't we, that Jesus was born in a stable. Well, he may well have been. I'm not saying he wasn't, but the gospel writers don't say that. We know there were three wise men, don't we? They may well have been. Wise men from the east, Matthew 2 says, so there were at least two, could have been 20. Might have been three. The angels that announced the good news to the shepherds, as they is in that reading we just had, and then the multitude of the heavenly host appeared and they sang their praises to God. Well, they might well have done, but Luke tells us they said, they spoke. The multitude appeared and they were saying, glory be to God in the highest. Other details that are important in our telling and enacting of the story. There's no donkey in the Christmas story. Oh, there's no donkey in the Christmas story. Someone's put a donkey up there, though. I don't know where that came from, but I'm blaming Nathan until anyone else comes forward. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes. But again, we're not told that there are any cattle where Jesus was born. There might have been, but we're not told that. And the reason we're not told that is not because those things didn't happen. Our traditions are important to us, and I'm not here to ruin your Christmas. The details that are important are the ones that Luke has given us and Matthew in their telling of the Christmas story. There are details that are important in the gospel story that we often just overlook. Jesus was... Well, actually, I've heard it said Jesus was born in a manger. That would be quite some feat, I reckon. The manger gets mentioned three times in Luke chapter 2. So I think the manger is important. It's an important detail that Luke wants us to understand. We get told... when Mary gives birth, verse 7, she laid her firstborn son in a manger. Verse 12, the shepherds are told by the angels to look for a child in a manger. That was the sign for them. And verse 16, the shepherds find Jesus lying in the manger, just as the angel had said they would. The details, you see, matter. The manger is significant. Yes, Jesus is born in poverty. Yes, Jesus is born in obscurity. Yes, Jesus is born in the most unpleasant of circumstances. And that's important for us because it tells us that God wanted to get involved in the real mess of humanity, yours and mine. Those things are true and those things are important. But the manger is what the manger is. The manger was the sign to the shepherds. The angel said, you will find a baby lying in a manger. And when you do, that's such an unlikely thing to happen, that when you see that child lying in that manger, then you know you have seen the incarnate Son of God, the promised Savior of the world. That's what shepherds, uneducated shepherds, ordinary working men, that's what they were told to look for. Go find a manger with a child in. That's such an unusual thing. You see, in our Christmases, that's just an everyday thing. Obviously, there's mangers everywhere, aren't there? We see every Christmas lights and every shop display, there's a manger somewhere. We're so used to seeing the manger at Christmas. And if we didn't have one, it'd be very surprising. First century Palestine, a manger with a baby in it is a very unusual thing. It's not something that happens very much. So they know when they see this, this is the sign to them that this child is special. This child is the Son of God. This is the one who's been born. This is the one who brings good news, who is good news. Good news to all people. The manger points beyond its own construction. The manger points to who this child is. It's not about the manger, it's about who's in it. It points to its occupant. It points to kingship. It points to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who has come to make everything right. And Luke's whole story is bound up with earthly kingship issues. Roman governors organizing censuses, organizing people to move and be counted and taxed. And it was all about subjugation, all of that stuff. And a Roman emperor sitting in Rome decides, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to count my stuff. And sends people out into the empire to count people and to count how much money they've got and take a good chunk of it off them. It's about exerting power. If someone in power in government can say, you will be censused, you will log onto this computer system at this time and you will give us your details in modern day Australia, but you will get fined if you don't do it. Same in first century Palestine. You will turn up. You will be counted. You will be reminded who you are. You belong to an earthly emperor. And in the midst of all of that going on, the child is born who is the savior of the world, the King of Kings, the true King. The details matter. You have to read the whole sweep of the detail to see what Luke is wanting us to see. This child in a manger, this unusual event, points to the King of Kings, the eternal Son of God. To you is born a Savior. A Savior. And shepherds in that field knew they needed one. Even the uneducated shepherds knew the language of their inherited faith. But there are other problems in our storytelling, aren't there? But little Lord Jesus, no crying he made. Well, it's a nice line. But little Lord Jesus, plenty of crying he made. Guarantee. Little Lord Jesus, plenty of everything that babies do, he made. A real human baby. That's important too. The eternal Son of God, who was present in the very act of creation, gets personally involved in the very real, messy detail of humanity. That's important. And think about him as he grows. We know that he likes going to parties as in adulthood, but in childhood, probably kicking a ball around or whatever passed for a ball, you know, with his friends, playing, doing all the things that children do and showing the things that he would have made in the workshop and all the real life things. See, good news has been promised and good news has arrived, and God is hidden no more, says John Gowans. God is hidden no more. He has spoken his mind, wrapped the gift of his love in the stuff of mankind. Now his nature is known. God is love undefiled, and his love is revealed in the face of a child. See, God has spoken his mind. And God has spoken his mind over your life and mine. That little thing about the angels who appeared, the multitude of the heavenly host who appeared glorifying God and saying, not singing, they may have gone on to sing, and saying, glory be to God and on earth peace. Saying. The word that is used for saying in that text is an easy one to remember because it's Lego. And we all know Lego, don't we? And it's a word that just means saying, just means speaking, just an everyday word. But it has an extra kind of nuanced meaning. It's the word that you use when you want to give the last word in an argument. It's the word that you use when you're setting out a case and you kind of say, and that's it, I've finished. It's the last word in a statement. It's definitive, it's authoritative, that word saying. The angels appear and they are saying, and they are saying definitively and finally and with authority, and there is nothing more to be said after this. That's what that little word means, all of that. There is nothing more to be said after this, the angels would say, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. God has spoken his mind over your life, Lego, and there is nothing more to be said. God's love is revealed in the face of a child because your life is of eternal significance and there is nothing more to be said. And if you this Christmas time are struggling with, I don't know what it might be, worry, anxiety, self-doubt, self-worth, whatever it might be, whatever your struggle is, your inward struggle today that only you know about, whatever that is, God looks at your life, sends the Son of God into your life to participate in your humanity, and there is nothing more to be said. God has spoken his word over your life, and it's present in the face of this child in this manger, whose manger points to his kingship. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who was present in the act of creation, has come to get personally involved in your life. And whatever your struggles are, God has spoken his word over your life. And I think that's an important detail of nativity. In another version of the story, John's Gospel, he talks about Jesus being the Logos, the Word. Again, God's word, God's final statement to his world is Jesus. The last word is Jesus. The last word is incarnation. The last word after the last word is resurrection. That's important too. Mangers always point to crosses. And crosses always point to empty tombs. And empty tombs tell us that everything can be fixed. I don't know what your struggles are today. My encouragement to you is not to miss the detail. Don't fill the day up with the details that don't matter. They might be lovely and they might be significant, but don't fill the day up with details that aren't really life-changing. But fill up your thinking, your response to Christmas with the details that actually matter. A king has come. A king is present and available to your life. Whatever mess you've made of your humanity, God himself in Jesus has stepped down into it. Not so you can stay where you are, but so you can step up into his. And despite all the mess you may have made, or you may be in the process of making, because we're not the best decision makers, some of us, despite all of that, God has spoken his word over your life. And so today, you are enough. You are welcome. You are accepted. There is nothing that you are struggling with that cannot be fixed, dealt with by him. Maybe not in ways that we understand, but certainly in the sense of his eternal view of things, nothing is beyond his repair. The detail that matters is that this is a personal event for you. Don't let it be about other people. You'll be busy doing things with other people, but don't miss its significance for you. God has spoken his word over your life. It's a very tactful cue to stop. So I will.